says Yahweh, because I've got God on my mind. Yep, that's the whole sermon. Right, so let's, thanks so much, team. You're amazing. Jamie, I love your jacket. It's really cool. You must have an amazing father who buys you nice things. I have a jam-packed sermon tonight, so if you're taking notes, you'll need to get out your typewriters now, because, I left my typewriter in my other pants, so I won't be taking notes with my typewriter. But I think what we should do first is pray, and let's do that right now. Father God, I just thank you so much that your word never returns void. Lord God, there's so much, as Ben shared with us, there's so much abundance in you. Right now, I ask you, Lord, to search every person's heart and find the space that fits your word for tonight so that it can just lock in, so we can all take what you have for us tonight out into our weeks and live according to your plan and your purpose. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight's key verse, there's one. There's one key verse. There's a whole heap of stuff dotted in and around. So if you're a Bible nerd, you'll hear a whole heap of scripture dotted throughout what God's put on my heart for you tonight. But our key verse tonight is from Ephesians 2:10, and I jumped into the ESV. It's not a translation I normally read, but I love it. English Standard Version. It says this, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, this became an important verse for me because over the last month or so, I have been wading through the proverbial up to about here, and I started to pray in such a way that I started to be a little bit demanding of God. Have you ever had those robust conversations with God? "God, what are you doing? I'm working my butt off down here. Don't you see? Don't you see what I'm doing? Me? And I'm walking along and I'm doing all the thing and I'm doing the actions of a Christian, but I didn't have the heart of one, and I just had the heart of a bit of a spoiled brat, if I'm honest. And things weren't going my way. You see, my plans for my life, because I don't know if you guys know, 15 years I've been self-employed, 15 years I've been building a big business, 15 years I've been working as a coach and consultant and speaker and trainer and writer and author and all so important. I actually got so sick of myself. I got massively sick of myself, and if I was sick of myself, I'm sure God was sick of me as well. Right? Especially if I was acting in the way that I was acting, which was ungrateful. And I'm not using this as a confession time, but I'm just putting you in the picture. My expectations didn't match God's plan for my life. And he brought me to this, "For we are his workmanship." But I'd been working on my own workmanship. I'd been trying to carve something out for myself that wasn't quite a fit for God. And I was wondering why wasn't it working the way that I wanted it to work? I mean, it was good, but it wasn't great. It didn't line up with what I heard in church. Didn't line up with what I heard. Because, you know, I heard that if you do things according to God's plan, God's will and God's purpose, then everything works out, it's fine, it's rosy. And I forgot the bit where it wasn't according to his plan and his purpose. It was according to Grant's plan and Grant's purpose, and who knows that I'm a pretty stubborn guy. So Pastor Dave sang me a song, and I'm going to invite him up to sing it now. I won't put anyone through that. But Pastor Dave, who is my mate, he said to me through frustration one afternoon, he said, Grant, let it go, let it go. And he sang it to me, and it's the best advice he's given ever to me personally. Like, he's given me a lot of really good advice, a lot of good coaching, a lot of good mentoring. Let it go, and I did. And Katie had some good news this morning. She's now a policeman officer woman. I'm now the state manager for Victoria, Tasmania for Thermomix Australia. I no longer have to be self-employed. I have a job at JOB. And it's all God. It is good. It's good. But praise God for that, because I couldn't have carved it out and I couldn't have created it, because I was made for his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, but not the works that I had planned. So we're going to talk about this tonight. So when things weren't always going well, but sometimes things didn't go so well, and we can blame one of three people, can't we, when things aren't going well? We can blame ourselves, and we can say things like, "Stupid, a bit of a duffer, you know, a bit of a dill, You know what I mean? Does anyone ever do that? I can't be the only freak in the room. We call that stinking thinking, right? Where we mess up the programming in our neck-top computer, that 6 kilo weight that sits on your shoulders, and we tell ourselves some stuff that's not true. Or we can do it. I don't know if I might be the only one that's doing this. Sometimes I do it in the car when I'm driving along, and I'll accidentally find myself blaming God for messing things up for me. Sorry, God. It's just a bit silly of me sometimes to do that. But sometimes we can do that, or we can blame the other guy. The enemy, right? But I want to tell you about this. I want to stick on this for a second because I was preparing and tweaking and planning this sermon for you tonight, and I lay down on the couch because I needed to give my head a little bit of a rest, and there was just this gap in here, and I wasn't quite sure what it was going to be. And as I lay down on the pillow on the couch, I was planning on having a sleep, you see, but God's plans were different because he put some words in my head, and this is what he told me. I want you guys to hear this because this is what's on my heart, that God's put there for you to hear right now. Satan is not the enemy of God. Satan is defeated, trampled underfoot. It's pride that is the enemy of God. Pride, a sin so detestable that the most beautiful angel, we were told in heaven, was cast down to earth and separated from God forever. And pride is not only found in our good work and our boastfulness, but sometimes, somehow, we can take pride in our brokenness. And we allow our brokenness to define us, to tell us who we are and keep us where we're at. But we must remember that it's not our boastfulness or our brokenness which defines us. It's by his stripes we're defined, by his stripes we're healed. By his grace we're saved, by his power we're restored. By his workmanship we are created, by his love we're made whole, and by his mercy and his love we're sanctified and justified. And by his right hand we are placed in his heaven as his sons and daughters and not his slaves. As servant-hearted members of his family, we're called to work hard, but not to hard work. If you're doing a little and it feels like a lot, remember that little is much when God is in it, so make sure you put him in it. The enemy wants you separated and isolated, alone and afraid, because that's where the enemy is. And he wants you there with him. And God just keeps leaving the 99 to find you. Every day. No matter how hard you try and hide or pretend to be someone or something you're not, God's still right there looking for you. And when he's looking for you, he's not looking for your location. He's looking for his creation made from his imagination. So let go of your frustration and make God your foundation. Yeah, come on. Thank you. I got out a rhyming dictionary for the last part. We can often look at someone else's life and social media. I got to tell you right now, like, I'm on it a lot, but I hate it. And I hate it not just for me, but I hate it for you. And I'm not even sure God would like it. Why? Because it makes us weigh up our lives according to someone else's life and not according to God's plan and purpose for our life. Because we were made in his workmanship, not by our Facebook profile. We're created in Christ Jesus, not created on a Facebook page. God prepared our lives beforehand. Facebook's been around since 2008. It's just a computer program. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, all of those things. All lumped under the one. We can look at someone else's life and say, why do they get all the good luck and the good fortune? And why do I always get the garbage deal? And that dishonors God.
Yeah, wow. True.
Because even when you're hanging in a prison cell and you sing praises to God, the walls come crumbling down. So you don't just praise God in the good stuff, because that's what a spoiled brat would do. You praise him through the garbage, or what feels like garbage as well. Even a blessing can feel like a curse when you're in the wrong frame of mind.
Yeah.
Comparing our lives, or your life, to someone else's life, guess who else that's not fair on? Them, the person you're comparing to. It's not fair on them because you don't know what they're going through, you don't know what they're feeling, you don't know how they're hurting, and you don't know what they've had to go through with God to get to where they're at right now. So it's actually not fair on anyone, but it's especially not fair on the plan that God has for your life. My wife, Gaynor, I can't see her anywhere at the moment. She's a fantastic coach. She's got a two-word coaching program that you can buy for $49.99. You can't really. I'll just give it to you right now. Stop it. I bought a backpack in. Dave, you got your hands full, but maybe Simon or Janelle, just be careful. It's pretty heavy. Yeah. Because this is... I know, it's right. So, this is real heavy. Like, this is real heavy. But I think sometimes when life feels a bit heavy, it's because the stuff that we've laid down, we keep picking back up again. And the stuff that we say we've given back to God and we've laid at the foot of the cross, we keep picking it back up again. And we keep trying to carry it around. And I think it's time for a few of us here, and I don't know who I'm talking about, say, well, you know what? There's my old job. I'm going to leave it there at the foot of the cross. And there's my failed marriage. And I'm going to leave that there at the foot of the cross. And I'm going to stop picking it back up. And I'm going to keep walking forward. And there's my addiction. And I'm just going to drop that there. I'm going to leave that at the foot of the cross. And there's what other garbage I'm telling myself. And I'm going to leave that at the foot of the cross as well. And I'm going to leave that garbage and that lie and whatever Satan's convinced me of there. And then I've got this really nice light backpack that I can carry around throughout my life. And I'm not even going to feel the burden. I'm not even going to feel weighed down. But I think maybe it's time for a few of us to just get the garbage out of your backpack. Do you know someone told me recently that I loved and I loved and I loved? And I think it was Johnny Bedford that actually told me, so it sounded even better. If you know Johnny, he's got an American accent. He's not here tonight. He said, you know what, Grant? God can't look backwards. He only looks forward. And I went, whoa, that means I should stop looking backwards as well. And I did, and it changed. Stop looking backwards. Stop picking up the garbage in your life. Drop it. Dump it. Stop it. Because why? Because you're his workmanship. You're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And the other guy wants you to keep picking up garbage. Going on? Thank you. We're a great team. I love that. We didn't even practice that. Stop doing what you might say comes naturally and start doing some stuff that comes supernaturally. I've got three things for you to remember, just three things tonight. It's a three-pointer. Thing you've got to remember, number one, that your identity is not based on anything or anyone but the one who created you. Your identity is not based on anything or anyone except the one who created you. Right? Not based on anything or anyone except the one who created you. What do you need to do to live that out? We've got to change your thinking, throw out your old thoughts and reframe and refocus on what he says. What does he say? Let me tell you what he says. My friend Layla Nahavandi, who's awesome and she's coming down soon, when she was here last, she had a big long list of promises that are in the Bible. Do you want to hear them? Yeah. Dave wants to hear them. What about at the back? Tash might. A few of you might. It's this. You are God's possession, his child, his workmanship, his friend, his temple, his co-laborer, his witness, his soldier, his ambassador and building. You are able to do all things because he strengthens you. You are a minister and an instrument. You are his chosen, his beloved, his jewel, his heritage. In Christ, you've been set free from the kingdom of darkness. You have been chosen before the foundation of the world, predestined to be like Jesus, forgiven of all trespasses, washed in his blood, given a sound mind, given the Holy Spirit, and been accepted into God's family. You've been justified freely by his grace. You've been given all things pertaining to life. You've been given great and precious promises, the ministry of reconciliation, the authority over the enemy, access to God and wisdom for free. Do you want more? I got more. In Christ, you're complete. You're totally in him, free forever from sin's power, sanctified, fit for the master's use, loved eternally. You're eternally kept in the palm of his hand, kept from falling, kept by his very power. You are not condemned. You are one with the Lord. You are on your way to heaven. You are quickened by his mighty power. You are seated in heavenly places, the head and not the tail, the light in the darkness, a candle in a dark place, a city on a hill, the salt of the earth. You want more? There's more. You are his sheep, a citizen of heaven, hidden in Christ In God and protected from the evil one, you are secured in Christ, set on a rock, more than a conqueror, born again, filled with his power, a victor, healed by his stripes, covered in his blood, sheltered by his wings, hidden in the secret place. You have access to the Father, a home in heaven, all things in Christ. You have a living hope, an anchor for your soul, a hope that's sure and steadfast, authority to tread on serpents, power to witness, the tongue of the learned, the mind of Christ, boldness and access, peace with God. You have faith like a mustard seed. In him you can do all things. You can find mercy, come boldly to his thrones and quench the fiery darts of the enemy. You can declare liberty to the captives, pray always, chase a thousand, defeat and overcome the enemy, tread Satan in underfoot, and the only thing you can't do is be separated from God, be perished or be lost, be moved, be taken out of the Father's hand, or be accused or condemned. Pretty good, right? That's all. That is who you are. And he leaves the 99 to find you. Why does he have to keep going to find you? It's because we get so good. We get so good at just making up our own identity and just going to hide ourselves. We just put on this thing. And it's, you know, it's not like I'm pointing fingers at anyone saying, you do this and it's bad. It's just because we live in the world. And it's easy to do. It's easy to do. It's hard to do the other stuff. You know, it's really hard when you're smart and stubborn to submit. Because submission can be seen as weakness in the world, but it's not. It's not. What else we got here? You guys having fun? What you need to remember, number two, is that the past is the past. God forgives you and he doesn't condemn you. He will convict you to desire him and know him more intimately because you're created for good works. Because you're created in him. The past is the... So let it...
Go.
Let it...
Go.
And Gaynor? Return to the love letters in the Bible that God has written to you where he tells you these truths that I just read out. These are his love letters for you. The entire book of the Bible. You know, I've started working in this company and people know that I'm a Christian, so they're asking questions, which is so cool. And they're like, the Bible? You're a Christian? What's that all about? They don't all talk like that. They're really nice people. So I just said, okay, well, it's kind of like this. The Old Testament says Jesus is coming and the New Testament says what happened when he did. What else do you want to know? Oh, no one's ever explained it like that before. I said, well, we didn't have a long time. But his love letters are in here and they're written for you. So you can, when you live in the world and you're condemning yourself and you've got bad programming in your laptop computer, you can read it and not believe it. You can read it and think it's putting you down because that's what you do. You put you down. So you're reading it through your filters. So read it through God's filters. Because he loves you. And he's for you. And he wants you. And he chases you. I was reflecting before I went for a walk and thought, you know, 6 years ago I became a Christian. 6 years. 6 years. It's not long. I was 39. It's not long. I remember standing up where there's a cenotaph just up the road. I was standing up there with Gaynor and the kids. The kids were little. And we, do we do this? Do we go in? Do we go to this church? Do we go to this place? I think I just knew. I just knew that there was going to be the change that I was going to have for the rest of my life. Just knew. There's something in my spirit. Just like the enemy was trying to drag me and go, no, don't go there. Don't go there. They're probably weird. They probably shout out and clap and do stuff. Hey, what if you did receive a love letter from God in the mail? Might sound a bit like this. Might say, my precious child, all things are created for my pleasure, and my pleasure is to show forth loving compassion. I have compassion on the poor and needy, and I'm a father to the fatherless. I help them and I defend them. Far below me are the heavens and the earth. I stoop to look down. And I lift the poor from the dirt and the needy from the garbage dump. And I set them among princes. My precious child, I want you to do these things also. Have compassion on the poor and needy and help them. This is what it means to know me, for I am love. And when you live in love, you live in me, and I live in you. Loving compassion is good, and this is what I require from you to do what is right, to love compassion and walk humbly with me. All my love, God. Imagine you received a personal letter. You have. And it's in there. Look for it. Read it. Seek it. Listen to it. Let God's words be your thoughts. It's the highest in psychology, we say it's the highest level of rapport is where your words become someone else's thoughts. Let God's words become your thoughts. See what happens. See what changes. You don't need to wait. You don't need to check the mailbox. It's already been delivered. And so have you. Would you like point number three?
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. Thing to remember number three is that God accepts you and you don't need to do anything. He loves you as you are right now, messy and broken. He loves you as you are right now, whole and complete. He loves you now. You don't have to do a song and dance act. You don't have to, as my pa who I loved, Mayor Cooper, Mayor Cooper, Mayor Cooper, but you don't have to do the whole ritual stuff. My pa was very, 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 very Catholic. Right now, he loves you. I can't understand the love of God. It's so crazy. Because sometimes in life, people annoy me just the littlest bit, and I don't even like them anymore. But he looks down at the world, he looks down at the universe, he looks down at everything, and he loves you. Wow. No matter what. And his heart is so desperate for you because you're his creation, made from his imagination. And you were made with a purpose. Number one, to worship him. Number two, I'm going to preach on next time. I'm going to preach a message next time I preach that scares me so much. It's a thought that I have a lot. And it's the parable of the talents and the prodigal son together. And I think right now there's a space in your heart, or I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but there's a space in your heart where you're thinking, yeah, you know what? Maybe I have tried to figure it all out by myself. It doesn't matter if you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, or 70. It's never too late. It's never too late to say, all right, God, I give up. What did you have in store? Because that was, I'll tell you the truth, that was me. I thought I had it all together. I thought it was all going swimmingly and I had it all worked out. And it was good. But what God's given me now is better. So if your life's good, don't settle for good. Keep going. Settle for better. Don't even settle for better. So here's what you need to do to live this out. Number one is you've got to believe what you read in the Bible and then choose to trust his words without needing to feel it. This is called faith. Now, because of one small moment recorded in the book of John, chapter 20, verses 20 to 24, poor old Thomas, he was labeled, perhaps unfairly, as doubting Thomas. Poor guy. One little thing. He was a disciple. He was devout. And then in one moment, just like we would, he had a moment of doubt. And it was written down, it was recorded. And then we read it. And we look at it as an example, and sometimes people go, oh, yeah, doubting Thomas, well, how bad? All right, if one moment in your week this week was written down and recorded, what would your label be? Sweary Mary? Dangerous Dan? And the enemy wants to label us. He wants us to, stupid idiot, failure, divorcee, addict, schmuck, abandoned. The enemy wants to label us. But here's the good news. Is there's a blank page in front of you. And when you choose Jesus' story over your story, when you choose his story over history, yeah. You like that one?
Yeah.
I thought that one was clever. When you choose his story over history, when you say, yes, you know what, Jesus, I do choose you. I do choose to follow you. I do choose to be a Christian. You know what? He takes all of the pages of your book that's been written so far and rips them out. And chucks them so far behind him that he can't look back at them and he forgets about them. Forgets. What does he put in the cover? Because the cover's left. What does he put in there? He puts his story in there. So when you meet God on that day and he opens up your book, he's not reading your old stuff. He's reading, oh, Jesus. Yeah, I know Jesus. Your story gets replaced with his story, and it's clean. It's clean. You know, I teach that decisions multiplied by actions equals result in corporate life, right? That's what I teach. But there's a decision to be made. And it's got to be made every single day. So if you're a person who's hanging on, we're going to have some ministry time in just a minute. I'm going to invite the keys to come back up. Jess, if you're in the room. There you are, at the back. Everyone sit on the back like cool kids. If you feel tonight there's something to let go of, don't be a spiritual wimp. Get some prayer. Flex some spiritual muscle tonight.
Yeah.
I've shared. You share.
Yeah, good.
So often in church we go, oh, they're asking me to come up the front. I don't want to feel like a dill. Guess what that is? How's that? That's that one. There. Let's get rid of that one. Don't worry, bocce champion of 1984. Not really. Forgive me, that was a fib. One of the books I loved when I was a kid was the Choose Your Own Adventure books. You guys ever reading? What should Eric do next? Turn to page 24. And I'd turn to page 24 and I'd go, oh, no, I don't like that one. What else? Oh, turn to page 13. Oh, good, he lives there. I'll do that one. Because I wanted the story to keep going. And I cheat a little bit. I'm always the kid who would always read the back of the book. Scared the heck out of me when I got my first Bible. If you're scared, that means come forward for prayer. And I don't say this lightly tonight. We're a small congregation here tonight. If there's something that's weighing you down, I'm never going to get rid of that thing. I'm always going to have that burden in my life. Come up and tell someone, get prayer. Leave it with God. Walk out of here tonight and never pick it up again. Never pick it up again. That's a decision multiplied by an action that'll give you a result. And it could be the best decision in your life. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Bill Hybels. He said that there's a three-part prayer. Sorry, thank you, please. Sorry, thank you, please. My primary school principal, Angus McPhail, real name. Real name. It only just struck me that fail and school teacher, only just struck me. He used to say, yes, no, please, thank you, wipe your feet and Bob's your uncle. But I don't think it's enough. Because it still allows us to carry a lot of stuff around. So how about tonight, instead of yes, no, please, thank you, wipe your feet and Bob's your uncle, we practice sorry, thank you, please. And we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It says in Matthew 10:32, acknowledge me before man, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. That's why we do this every single week. here, not only here at Energizer Church, but since I think 1820 or 1830 in churches all over the world. It started to become a popularized part of the service that we call the altar call. But as Christians, we can kind of get a bit used to it as well. And I know oftentimes when I'm in church twice a week, every single Sunday, 52 weeks of the year, it's 104 church services. I've been complacent with this prayer. And I just want us to not be complacent with this prayer tonight. You know, oftentimes when we pray this prayer, we say, just raise your hand if it's the first time you've prayed this prayer and you meant it. And it's made a difference and you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life as your Lord and Saviour. It's so we can pray with you afterwards. But then oftentimes people get embarrassed and they don't want to do it because of this. Another weight. Another thing. But I say tonight, don't wait. Just don't wait. Even if you've been a Christian for a very, very, very long time and you've had a particularly garbage week and you're up to your eyeballs in it, refresh that prayer tonight. Upgrade your Christian software. Run on 3.0 instead of 2.0. Good, better, best. Never let it rest. Let God do the work in you so you can just enjoy the journey with Him and in Him, through Him and because of Him. So how about we pray that prayer together? And I will ask that if it is your first time praying that prayer and you do mean it tonight, or you meant it in a different way, or you something's changed tonight, you've made a decision, you know what, I'm going to let some stuff go and I'm going to trust God with my whole heart and my whole mind and my whole soul and my whole being with everything forever. That's it. Decision time, crunch time. Then I'd ask you to slip your hand up as well and say, yep, me. And then once I go take a seat and the band does their thing, I ask you to come forward tonight if you do want someone to pray with you, if there is something on your mind, if there is something on your heart, and just confess it with someone, just tell someone and see if it makes a difference. Let's pray. I'm going to pray a bit, you pray a bit. Father God, I am sorry that I've sinned. Thank you for dying for me. And right now, I choose you as my Lord and Savior. Please come and live in my heart forever. Amen. And if you did pray that prayer differently tonight or for the first time, why don't you just go ahead courageously and slip your hand up if that's you. And there's often times in church where we don't have anybody respond, and that's cool too. Tonight I'm going to ask that you don't rush off, you don't bolt out the door, you do stay behind, you do have a conversation with someone, talk to one of your church family about something that really matters tonight. For the rest of the band, let's come up and sing a beautiful song as we leave. Was that your plan for tonight? Were you going to sing a song as we left? Simon, you can just play drums if you want, I don't really mind. Thanks, man, that's awesome. Thank you very much for listening. Praise God for everything He's doing in your life right now. Remember, we have our conferences coming up, a whole bunch of amazing stuff here at Energizer Church.